Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Welcome to Racing Across America.
I just realized my mic was sitting on the table next to me, where it does no good whatsoever. So excuse me for that, but now we're set to go. Welcome to Racing Across America. I am Seth Merrow. This is Saturday, October 30th, and some nice racing today. You heard us go over the Keeneland closing day card and the Belmont card just a few minutes ago on the Handicappers Report with some nice stakes action there, and kind of alluded to it, mentioned it over at the Meadowlands. We'll be covering the Breeders' Crown card this afternoon as well. Belmont and the Meadowlands, there'll be a cross-country cross-breed cross-country pick five today with some of those Breeders' Crown races and Belmont races. That should be fun. If you're not into the sulky side, maybe you'll enjoy some of the racing and get pulled in today, because the Breeders' Crown is essentially the Breeders' Cup of harness racing, and there are some really nice horses racing this afternoon at the Meadowlands, and we'll kind of point those out as the afternoon goes along with OTB Live as well. So hopefully we can pull you in. And Atlanta is going to be fun to watch. She is just phenomenal, and you know, a millionaire, just one of a number of horses and races that'll be fun to watch at the Meadowlands this afternoon. But a nice day of racing ahead is the game plan. Let me alert you to some of the promos and information coming up that you should be aware of. One is Breeders' Cup Syndicate number 2. I'm virtually certain there are still some opportunities to get on the team, because it opened up yesterday, and at the end of the day, I know there were still some open spots. Breeders' Cup Syndicate 1 opened up on Thursday, and literally within a couple hours, it was full. So we here at Capital OTB put another syndicate together, a little bit smaller, a $50 entry fee, a few less people. But essentially, the plays will be similar. You can go on the website and find out more about all of that. But if you'd like to take your shot at the syndicate, get on the team, go to the website. It's first come, first serve. So swing by CapitalOTB.com today. Now, if he can, as I say, first come, first serve, and you can get on that Breeders' Cup Syndicate 2, which will be a lot of fun. And again, hopefully the Breeders' Cup Syndicate players are as lucky as the Keeneland players were last week. The Keeneland Syndicate last week scored for $17,000. Everybody walked away with $800 in their account, $800 plus in their account. So hopefully the Breeders' Cup teams do as well. We're rooting for everybody on both the first syndicate and the second syndicate. But as I say, second syndicate, still some spots available. Don't forget, as always, you can swing by the Racebook tomorrow, catch up with some NFL football action. That's always fun. Football and racing every Sunday throughout the NFL season. You wear a jersey, you get in for free. You have a chance to win a jersey with the squares, maybe a restaurant voucher. Always a lot of fun Sundays throughout the NFL season. And coming up next Thursday, Breeders' Cup Seminar. It'll be live at 2 o'clock next Thursday afternoon on the Capital OTB YouTube channel. We'll replay it over the next couple of days as well. Myself and Tim Wilkin here in the studio, and Brian Edo will be live from Del Mar. That's next Thursday at 2 p.m., so mark that. All right, let's jump into some action. And coming up a little bit later on, Anthony Stabile will join us to take a look at some of those Empire Classic, the Empire Showdown Day, Empire Showcase Day stakes races. He's also covering the Meadowlands on the Fox show, so we hit on a little bit of Meadowlands. We talked to him yesterday. Live today, Ellis Starr will join us. Closing day at Keeneland. Ellis handicaps the Keeneland card. He has some selections every day at the Keeneland website, so I thought we'd talk about the closing day stakes with Ellis a little bit later on. But we'll start, I'll pull up, I have a few of these today, and we'll plug them in if we have time, but I think we'll have time at least to kick off here the first interview. Jenny Reese from the Kentucky HBPA goes out typically before big events and interviews some of the Kentucky-based trainers heading into big races with the Breeders' Cup right around the corner. Yesterday, she talked to Brad Cox on the Churchill Downs backstretch. Juju's Map went out for a workout yesterday morning. Juju's Map, who will be a player in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. And so here is a few minutes of Brad Cox reflecting on yesterday's workout from Juju's Map.
Worked this morning in company, and talk about the work, Brad.
That was a good move. She broke off about a length behind Matera. They went 5/8 from the half mile pole. I had the leader, and they broke off. And like I said, Matera's about a length in front. I had her in 59.3, so I'd have gave Juju probably 59.2, something like that. And, Matera's 113, so I go with around 112.4 on Juju's Map. You know, really good move, well in hand, good gallop out, and you know, we were just kind of going to let her cruise around there, and that's what she did. I mean, it looks fast on paper, but I mean, she was well in hand, and it was a good move, and super excited about what we saw this morning. Florent was on her. He was pleased with it as well. So, you know, we have a lot of confidence moving forward. Hopefully comes out of it in good order, and you know, we'll be ready for California. I feel like we've done as much with her of the mornings, and you know, she had a good run at Keeneland, and we're as fit as we're going to get.
Talk about her Alcibiades, you know, her first race in the stakes.
Mm-hmm. Big race, set close to a hot pace. Horse from the outside broke, made the lead. She tracked that horse, you know, set maybe, I can't remember, 3-4 off of it, maybe up the backside, but it was a hot pace. And, you know, for her to be able to, you know, run that horse down going into the turn and stay on down the lane says a lot about her stamina and her ability to get two turns. It was really her first run around two turns. A race at Ellis was a mile, but that's more of like a turn and a half. So, you know, it was a, you know, first time she'd done, you know, race two turns, and you know, she passed that test with flying colors, and one thing can give us confidence to you know, march forward to the Breeders' Cup.
And in the Breeders' Cup, you'll be taking on Echo Zulu, who figures to be probably the favorite. You'll be either second or third choice. There's also Hidden Connection, though, mm-hmm. So impressive in Pocahontas. But just, you know, you've won the Juvenile Fillies before. I mean, it sounds like you think she's got all the tools.
Yeah, she showed us every bit as much as British Idiom. Not taking anything away from British Idiom, she's a very good two-year-old filly. But this filly showed us every bit as much from the start. She's been, you know, one of my favorites from since last spring when we picked her up. You know, she's marched forward. She's not undefeated or anything, but, you know, she did come up second in her first run. Going short, but you know, she's enjoyed the stretch out, and you know, we always thought she would be a filly that would get better with distance. So you know, she's a good filly, and she's put us in a great spot.
So bring on Echo Zulu.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, look, she's deserving favorite. She's the leader of the division now. She's you know, put in three fantastic races. We've had two fillies that run behind her that we think a lot of, and Lady Scarlet in her maiden race, and then in the in the spin away, we ran a filly named Girl with a Dream. It's a nice filly that just, she wasn't up for that type of test yet. And, you know, she's a good filly. And, but, you know, we've got a good filly as well. And, you know, I'd rather run against her around two turns as opposed to one turn. I can tell you that. So, you know, we'll see how it goes.
That was our friend Jenny Reese catching up with Brad Cox yesterday morning on the Churchill Backstretch, talking about the Juju's Map workout. Here it is. She's on the outside. Juju's Map, going to be fun. Juvenile Fillies, Jenny alluded to it. There are really three horses that will take the action from the betting public. Echo Zulu is clearly going to be the horse that folks will focus on. But Juju's Map and Hidden Connection are clearly very talented. Juju's Map for Brad Cox ran second in the debut at Ellis, then won in the second career start, did it pretty nicely. And off of those two efforts, they went in the Alcibiades, and she won that very convincingly. So Juju's Map's going to come in with a little juice for Juju as well. So Juju's Map, Hidden Connection, Echo Zulu, the horses that will take some action. But Juju's Map, nice little workout. You saw Brad was happy with the workout yesterday there that we watched coming down the stretch for Juju's Map. If we get a chance later, Brett Calhoun also talked about Thursday's workout for Hidden Connection. David Carroll also talked a little bit about how really well they think Got Stormy is working and coming in. She worked out yesterday also. So again, we have those two interviews that Jenny Reese did also. We'll plug those in either a little bit later on if we get a chance, or if not, I'll save them for tomorrow. But they're worth kind of listening to, and you get an idea that, you know, the connections feel pretty good about the works for those two over the past couple of days as well. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, again, caught up with Anthony Stabile yesterday to talk about some of the Empire Showcase Day stakes action down in New York and more. A little bit later on, Ellis Star will talk some Keeneland on their closing day. All of that right after this. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
The Breeders' Cup World Championships have given us some of horse racing's biggest thrills and biggest payouts, like the $2.7 million Pick Six payout back in 2003. With a long list of betting options, it's never taken so little to win so much. So don't miss your chance to share in Thoroughbred Racing's richest event, the Breeders' Cup. And be sure to go to CapitalOTBBet.com to wager and win.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Happy to be joined now by our friend Anthony Stabile, the Big A. Anthony, good morning.
What's happening, Seth? Happy Empire Showcase Day. Happy Breeders' Crown Day.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to just hit generally on that a little bit towards the end of the segment, because you'll be featured on the Fox show, America's Day at the Races, talking to Breeders' Crown. And when I heard that, I thought, perfect spot, because I was over standing with you once or twice this summer over at Saratoga Harness, listening to you regale some stories, some of which can and cannot be repeated, some racetrack hijinks. But like myself, you are obviously very much a harness racing fan. I kind of cut my teeth at the Saratoga Harness over the years, and I enjoy it. And you'll be featured Saturday afternoon looking at the Breeders' Crown.
My first, some of my first racetrack memories were over at Roosevelt Raceway. So my mom and dad were real young when I was born, and I was 3 years old. You had to be six to get into Roosevelt down here in Westbury, Long Island, and I was three. And I was a big, chubby, fat kid, so I looked older. But my mom had a baby face. My mom was 16 when I was born. So they would sneak me in by saying I was her brother and not her son. So those were my first memories of getting into Roosevelt Raceway, betting on Mike LaChance. My favorite color was green when I was a kid, so I'd always bet the four. And I mean, more harness rips from Sonny Patterson Jr., John Starks Sr. I mean, just some great days over at Roosevelt Raceway. I'm looking forward to getting back to some harness action tomorrow.
Yeah, for me, today, up here, it was folks my age will remember J.P. Morrell and Percy Davis, King of the Trot, up at Saratoga Harness. But, yeah, we'll hit on a little more on that just generally a little bit later. But now let's get into Empire Showcase Day. And just generally give us a little update on how the Belmont meet has been so far.
It's been hit and miss for me, but I think we've had a real strong meet down here at beautiful Belmont Park sitting here today. It's just, basking in the glory of Big Sandy. It's been a good meet. I think we did the right thing the next couple of days. We postponed the turf stakes races. There were the two New York Red races, obviously, today, and then the stakes on Sunday, tomorrow. We postponed them to next week. The weather just doesn't look good. We got 4.8 inches of rain Tuesday into Thursday. 36 hours, 4.8 inches of rain. So, you know, the courses, they were labeled good yesterday, labeled good on Friday, and we'll have the changes soon, and we can let you know about the undercard races today. But I guess that was it. We only lost a couple of full days on the turf, which is a good thing. And yeah, it's been a fun meet, and a lot of the stakes action will come to fruition next weekend out at Belmont for the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, looking forward to the Empire Showcase Day, and I will ask you, because I talked about it on the handicapping show earlier today. I remember, my early days New York Reds, Fiorito winning the Whitney after breaking through the gate. That was like big news, but it's not as big news now. You get these Empire days, the New York Red days, and they're nice fields, they're nice competitive fields, but you look through, and there are a lot of New York Reds now that do very, very well in open company.
All you have to do, Seth, is look at today's Distaff. And it's just chock full of Phillies that win open races. You know, Sharp Star, I forgot she was a New York Red. I honestly forgot she was a New York Red. So I think that race is the real testament to the program and the job that everybody's done over at the Breeders. I understand Kentucky Breds are never going to be touched, but after that Kentucky Bred program, you show me a better state bred program in the country, and I'll buy you a brand new suit, as the old adage goes. So they just have done a tremendous job. And look, they've had, you know, we've been fortunate to have bred some really, really nice New York Breds over the last 20 years. You know, you go back to Fiorito in the early 80s, but you go back, you know, you look back in the last 20, 25 years, Funny Side, Mind Your Biscuits, horses like, say, Florida Sandy, you know, we've bred some real racehorses, and it's a testament to the program and to the breeders and to the owners who have, you know, moved their broodmares and kept their broodmares here and supported some New York sires. And yeah, it's just a great program, and it's a great day to celebrate. It's funny, though. You know, me and my buddy Phil always joke around about how it always seems to rain on Empire Showcase Day. They moved the date this year, and it's still going to rain. unbelievable.
Snake bit. But, yeah, it is a fun. All of these New York days are fun. You know, the New York Stakes days at the various venues are fun. And this one.
Up to three of them. Yeah. Up to three of them now. We got the Memorial Day, Travers Eve, and then this traditional one in the fall here at Belmont Park at the Fall Champions. I mean, it's amazing.
They're always a lot of fun, certainly. Let's jump into it. Empire Classic will highlight the day today. $300,000 up for grabs for the New York Breds going a mile and an eighth. And my top three, I went 5, 7, and 3. I put American Revolution over Seafoam over Mr. Buff. And while we talk, we'll take a look at American Revolution. Speaking of the showcase day up at Saratoga, he wins the Albany in fine fashion. American Revolution, 98 buyer that day and a nice win. Subsequently gets a 101 buyer, finishing third in the Pennsylvania Derby. But I debated. My top three, I could have gone in any direction. I really like Seafoam and the win in the Shipman up at Saratoga the last time he faced New York Breds. But I eventually landed on American Revolution. Again, we're seeing him come down the stretch here in the Albany. What are your thoughts, though, on Saturday afternoon's Empire Classic?
This horse has won 5 times. He's won 3 of them. The 2 times he got beat, Mandaloon won and Hot Rod Charlie won. He's not going to see either of them this afternoon here at Belmont Park. I can tell you that, my friend. Yeah, you know, there's always a little part of me that my heart breaks when I don't pick Mr. Buff in some of these races. Yeah. And, you know, he's obviously a player in here. You got a giant price on him last year. He paid 9 and change to win this Empire Classic last year. But you feel like this year, it's not even he's lost a step. It's just been a little bit more hit and miss with him. And if things don't go perfectly, it's kind of, you know, he's kind of like the grumpy old man that wants you off his lawn. At this point, and he's earned that at 47 starts and $1.4 million in earnings. He's earned that with 17 wins. But yeah, American Revolution, you know, you don't want to say it's a baton passing here, but boy, he's an example of that program, right? He's run twice open. He's won all three. He's won all three of the state bred races. He's won twice open against some tough competitive fields. And now, you know, he's going to cut back to one turn. He's only run the one turn twice. Those are both going 6 furlongs. This one turn mile and an eighth is probably going to hit him between the eyes. He should get a good trip off the speed with Luis Saez in the irons, his regular rider. And, I think he's going to be tough. I think Danny California is a little interesting. Danny California is a horse. He's a hit and miss type as well. But I think with some speed in here, you got Mr. Buff, you got Captain Bombastic from the Well, 3 jokers has to show some speed, you would think. I think Danny California might be able to get a piece of this at a price.
10-1 on the morning line. I like it if you want to throw that one in the mix. As they say, Seafoam, it's a good story there with Michelle Giangiulio getting the first stakes win of her career and doing it up at Saratoga in the Shipman. We had her on with us on the backstretch after that victory. So she has a little intriguing storyline, too, for Ten Strike and Marshall Graham. All right, let's go a race earlier, the aforementioned Empire Distaff. And I did go with Make Mischief in here. And we're going to go back and watch the Fleet Indian up at Saratoga, where number three, By Hubby Hello Money, wins the race. Number nine, Make Mischief, runs second. But By Hubby Hello Money, in this victory we're seeing right here, was 13-1. Subsequently runs second in an optional claimer down at Belmont. Make Mischief was last seen in this Fleet Indian. Maybe I'm getting too clever, but I'm going to look for these two to switch it up, and I'm going to tilt towards Make Mischief. I thought Trini Luck was a little bit interesting as well, Ice Princess, but what are your thoughts on the Distaff?
Yeah, you know, I think the way to play this race is to be against Make Mischief in here. It's been a long year. She's run an awful lot of times. I think she's kind of tailed off a little bit. I know she didn't have the cleanest of trip in the Fleet Indian. And she probably doesn't want to go a mile and an eighth. This mile and a 16th will probably be a little bit more beneficial for her. And I think the one turn probably helps her more than the two turns. With that said, it's been a long year. She's taken a couple of months off now. And like we said earlier, this is a salty bunch of horses, a bunch of fillies and mares. And I bet there's a chance for a little bit of a price in here. I don't have the morning line, but I would imagine Bank Sting is going to be a decent enough price. And, man, she's just done very little wrong in her career. She's got enough speed to be up close. She's tactical. If she needs to come from off the pace, she gets Joel Rosario in the irons for the first time. And I'm going to try a little bit of a price here. I think Bank Sting gets the money. Some of the other fillies in there, as you mentioned, certainly. I think Ice Princess coming back off the turf gets back to her preferred surface. And you mentioned Trini Luck briefly. Boy, you know, it certainly... She surprised the heck out of me last time. I didn't think she was stretching out, and it was by far her best race. See if Manny Franco employs the same tactics that he used in her last three, run and gun. She's the fastest filly in here. Maiden Beauty looks to have some speed, but she's nowhere near as fast as Trini Luck. If Trini Luck took them wire to wire, I would not be surprised though.
Yeah, I agree completely. That speed pop kind of a thing may work again. Be interesting to see how it plays out. And Bank Sting, yeah, are getting a decent little price. You're getting 6-1 on the morning line. So we'll see how that plays out. Let's go a little bit earlier, the Maid of the Mist, because I wanted to get Europe. I went with Sandy's Garden, and we are going to, in fact, watch the debut victory for Sandy's Garden, albeit up at the Finger Lakes. And I said on the handicapping show earlier, when I handicap in the afternoon, and Finger Lakes is one of the tracks we're looking at, I love the venue class move from the Naira Circuit to Finger Lakes. It's a little bit of a negative going the other way, but this one is kind of unproven, given the only one start. The chart margin here is 20 lengths, and I didn't realize it until I looked at this earlier, but bred and owned by Jim Doyle. I'm pretty sure that's the Jim Doyle that I used to work with back in the day when I had my television production company. We did some stories out at the racetrack for various venues, and Jim used to help on those. So I'm rooting for Jim to maybe get one through. I tilted towards Sandy's Garden, but Dufresne, Velvet Sister, and as I say, and Sue Ellen Mishkin ran poorly in the spin away, but the debut was certainly good looking. But I'm going to tilt towards the Finger Lakes Invader. That said, the horse has been training right up here at Saratoga most recently. But what are your thoughts on the Maid of the Mist?
Yeah, it's an interesting race. I think she'll be a short price off that fig, and I can't take her because, like you said, the Finger Lakes to Saratoga to the Finger Lakes to the Naira Circuit move, it's just not for me. I thought there was a chance of there being a little bit of a pace in here. I thought she would go to the lead. She's got a stretch from 6 to a mile. I can't imagine Velvet Sister's going to be too far behind. Excuse me. I think Venti Valentine is a little interesting in here. Made up a ton of ground at Belmont Park to break her maiden by firing line of a Medaglia d'Oro mare. You got over $20 on her. And I would imagine that she'll be closer going the mile, have that experience under her belt. And I took a little shot with her. I think Velvet Sister's tough. Sue Ellen Mishkin, you mentioned, you know, taking the huge class jump from maiden state bred to the spinaway last time. Well, you kind of hope it wasn't the wet track because she figures to have some moisture in it today, and we'll see what Sue Ellen Mishkin can do. I think she's going to rebound, and I guess you have to respect Sandy's Garden, but Venti Valentine's the one that I think is the most interesting in here because I liked her debut. I love when these young fillies, especially pass as many horses as she did. Yeah.
And stretching out, I think she's a little bit interesting. I think she's going to appreciate the mile more so than a couple of others in here. And I think she'll be a decent enough price that you could take a little swing against the chalk.
All right. And finally, let's take a look at the Hudson handicap a little bit earlier on the card. These are three-year-olds and up going 6.5 furlongs. And I said on the handicapping show earlier, I went with New York Traffic, but I was kind of back and forth off the past couple of starts. But I just went back to the last time this horse faced Statebreds, and we're going to actually take a look at that. This was back in May at Belmont Park. New York Traffic's going to be the number three horse. Tosses a 103 buyer figure, wins pretty easily. So for the first time getting back in against Statebreds after having faced Open Stakes Company the past few starts, I'll tilt towards New York Traffic. I thought Gemography was a little bit interesting. Our Last Buck, make a case maybe for Foolish Ghost. But what did you see in the Hudson?
So, I mean, New York Traffic's obviously the horse to beat in here. But the barn, the Safi Joseph barn, has been a little quiet. Starting to heat up now. Shifty She won, Preposterous won off the turf on Thursday. So, you see the barn starting to heat up now. I got to tell you, though, Seth, I didn't like this horse's last two races. I'll forgive the Salvador Mile. Probably should have won the Salvador Mile. I did not think he was good at all in his last two. Now, he gets huge class relief. He gets some distance relief. But do we know for sure he's going to want to go 6.5? Do we know for sure that against some decent sprinters he's going to want it? I know he beat Control Group and Bourbon Bay going 7. But think about what I just said. He beat Control Group going 7 furlongs. Control Group doesn't want to go 7 furlongs. He wants to go 9. So I just think that he's a horse I almost have to pick and play against later on today. I went with Judge and Jury. This horse's Saratoga allowance win was spectacular. He had the unenviable task of chasing Jackie's Warrior in Life is Good in the Jerkins. Came back with a workmanlike performance. You know, I still think he was smarting from that Jerkins effort, even though he'd stopped running the last 3/8 of a mile. I think he's ready for a big, big effort today. And I'm going to take a little swing with Judge and Jury.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. All right, that takes us through some of the stakes on the Empire Showcase Day at Belmont. But again, Anthony will also be on the Fox show, America's Day at the Races, talking Meadowlands and Breeders' Crown. And as I said, I'm a sulky fan, and so I appreciate that. And I thought we would just take a moment to kind of set the stage a little bit. Obviously, the highlights of the day come towards the end of the program with the Breeders' Crown Pace and the Breeders' Crown Trot. But if for folks who aren't familiar with sulky racing in particular, and maybe think, oh, it's the second cousin or whatnot, there'll be some nice horses to watch during the afternoon. In the ninth race, the Breeders' Crown Filly and Mayor Pace, Lion Sentinel. If you go to the USTA website, the trotting website, they have a poll, just the way the NTRA does a thoroughbred poll. Lion Sentinel is clearly at the top of the annual poll at this point. So Lion Sentinel is on the card. But a horse that I am going to be really anxious to watch, and as I say, if you're thinking that the standardbreds are the poor cousin of the thoroughbreds, fifth race on Saturday, the Breeders' Crown Filly and Mayor Trot, Atlanta will be in here. Six-year-old Mayor with $2.9 million in the bank, and we're going to take a look at her race from last week in the Breeders' Crown Eliminations at the Meadowlands. Atlanta is going to be the number one horse here, getting it done for career victory number 42. She's just phenomenal, and she's going to be a lot of fun to watch on Saturday in that fifth race. Give us some of your thoughts as you prepare for the Breeders' Crown coming up Saturday at the Meadowlands.
She's so cool. She said, there are stallion rosters at the biggest farms in the United States that if you combined all of the career wins, don't equal Atlanta's wins, right? It's amazing. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the day. For those of you who don't know, the Breeders' Crown is essentially the Breeders' Cup for harness racing. Last night, Friday night, there were 4 2-year-old races, and there's two different gates, trotters and pacers. So there was a 2-year-old trotter for the fillies and mares, 2-year-old pacer for the fillies, rather, 2-year-old pacer for the colts and geldings, 2-year-old trot for the colts and geldings, 2-year-old trot for the fillies, for the 2-year-old fillies. And then today we have all of the older horse races, the 3 and ups. Action starts with race number 4, I think first post for the Breeders' Crown race is right after 1 o'clock. We'll be on Fox Sports 2 from
12, I believe it's 12 to 4, Fox Sports 2, and then SNY from 3 to 5:30. So you'll get all of the action, all of the Belmont action, and all of the Breeders' Crown action on FS2 and SNY later on today. Really looking forward to it. Like I said, some of my first memories are at Harness Tracks. Plenty of double Aqueduct Meadowlands doubleheaders in my life for both the flats and the trots. Aqueduct Roosevelt when I was a kid, Belmont Roosevelt, Belmont Yonkers. I mean, just some of the greatest things. I have friends. I just saw my friend Dwayne Dean's parents here at Belmont today. I know Dwayne since I'm 3 years old. We met playing handball against the wall at Roosevelt Raceway when we were 3 years old. That's 41 years ago. So when I say I have friends in this game since I was a kid, I don't say little kid because I was never little, but since I was a young kid, I mean it.
Well, you've made a couple of remarks regarding your size a couple of times, but I'll say it again, and the guys in the control room have noted, you look great on the, we talked to you this summer about losing some weight, and you look great over the past few weeks on the broadcast, so congratulations on that. But like you, I am also a longtime harness racing fan, and so I'm looking forward to the...
I appreciate that. That's officially down 80 pounds. I got on the scale Friday. I was officially broke the 80-pound mark.
Congratulations,
Dad. I'm excited. I put my cards on the table. I got another 100 to go. But we got the first 80 off, and we'll get the next 100 off, and we'll come up to Saratoga even more svelte the summer of 2022.
Excellent. Well, congratulations on that. Oh, we should also note there's also a cross-country pick five, right? Belmont. It's a cross-breed pick five this week, right? Belmont and Meadowlands?
Cross-breed.
Nice. Yep. So that should be fun for folks.
Yeah, that'll be fun, too. Yeah, I think we'll be giving out a ticket on the program at some point.
Oh, excellent. So, again, tune in this afternoon, America's Day at the Races, to see the Big A, Anthony Stabile, doing a little sulky side. Anthony, we appreciate the conversation this morning, as always, and we will talk again.
You got it, Seth. We'll talk to you soon.
The Big A, Anthony Stabile, with a little Belmont, a little Meadowlands. Should be fun. Saturday afternoon action. We'll be back shortly. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play. With easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport, it's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement. From world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Bridgestone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Bridgestone. Bridgestone surges past. Bridgestone wins the Belmont Stakes.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised earlier, joined now by our friend Ellis Starr, National Racing Analyst for Equibase. You can always find the
feature race of the week there, and I saw this week's feature race is one of the stakes. Nice little turf stake out at Santa Anita this afternoon, but I thought we'd talk a little closing day Keeneland Stakes action with Ellis this morning, because he has picks on the Keeneland website throughout the meet. Ellis, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. Good morning, racing fans. It's a gloomy closing day at Keeneland. I know you have the same weather in New York, and I'm looking out the press box window here. The track, main track, will be probably good by the time we get to post. It dries really fast. The rain stops. They took the two earlier turf races, I forget the numbers off, but the stakes race we'll be talking about, the Bryan Station, will still be on the grass today.
Very good. And just give us some of your thoughts now that we've reached closing day at the Keeneland meet. How has the meet played out from your perspective? And I'll talk a little bit about the human side, because I've talked about it the last couple of weeks. I had Marty McGee on last week and just couldn't ignore Tyler Gaffalione. Since arriving in Kentucky, he has just been phenomenal. And I pulled up the actual numbers here going into closing day for Tyler. He has a 13-race lead on the second-place jockey, Florent Giroux. It's 28-15. But closing day is going to be a lot of fun on the trainer's side. Brad Cox has 13 winners right now. Wesley Ward has 12. Brad has 4 in today, but only in 3 races. And Wesley Ward has 6 in today, but in 4 races. But it'll be fun to see how the trainer's battle plays out on closing day. But give us some of your thoughts on the fall meet.
Well, I'll kind of go backwards here. First of all, everybody that's got a Equibase virtual stable or any other kind of stable mail account, put Smile Happy on your list. We haven't had a 2-year-old first-time starter route winner at Keeneland, and I saw it this morning. I think it was 20 years, maybe more than that. And this son of Run Happy just was incredibly professional yesterday, coming from off the pace for Ken McPeak. Too late for the Breeders' Cup juvenile, but maybe come back at the Kentucky Jockey Club. The meet itself, well, first of all, for me, just fantastic. Keeneland's been capping about 20,000. It's been sold out almost every day. People have been out rooting. All the dining rooms are full. And the racing's been fantastic. A couple races off the trip yesterday and today again. Other than that, everything formful, very few injuries. Horses running to form and a couple nice prices. And also, big, big fields. The stakes action has been just phenomenal.
Yeah, as typical of Keeneland, Keeneland spring, Keeneland fall, always look forward to those, and this meet lived up to it. Yeah, the winner yesterday, the Run Happies are all of a sudden turning out to be a little bit precocious. After last year, not so much so. This year has turned around a little bit, and that winner yesterday was very impressive. The call from Kurt Becker reflected that. If people didn't see it, maybe I'll play it tomorrow on the show as well. And then Thursday, the sibling to Beholder for Brad Cox looked pretty impressive in the debut as well. Martime, I want to say.
Martime. Yeah. Martime. M-A-R-R-Time. Yes, absolutely. Leslie's lady, the penultimate foal, because she's been retired. She has one more, I think, by Cantharos. That's a yearling. Martime was impressive. You know, just big things expected of this 2-year-old next year in Brad Cox's barn.
Yeah, with that kind of breeding, no surprise. All right, let's get into some of the stakes action. We'll kind of work our way back on closing day. The Fayette, a grade 2 event, $200,000 purse, a mile and an eighth. And I pulled up a replay going back a ways. I pulled up a replay from the Travers of 2019, and we're going to see number 2, Code of Honor, get it done. And I pulled this up because I put Code of Honor on top.
Is gaining ground to the far outside.
He hasn't quite lived up to the promise he was showing coming out of this. Subsequent to this race, he won the Jockey Club Gold Cup, but on a disqualification. And in the 9 races since that 2019 Jockey Club, he's got a couple wins, a couple seconds, and a third. And, you know, it's not bad, obviously. He's got almost $3 million in the bank, and he tends to throw triple-digit buyer numbers. And so I put him on top, but I just did want to kind of note that the high water mark was a couple of years ago. Hasn't quite lived up to it, but to me has maybe an edge on this field. But I could make a case for any of the 3 I used in the top spots. I have King Fury next, who I thought in the Lexington earlier this year was set up to have a good year. And then Ken McPeak had that funny Saratoga where there was the quarantine. So the 2 Saratoga races I'll draw a line through. Yeah. And then he looked phenomenal last time with the big win at Churchill. And I think Sleepy Eyes Todd is a little bit interesting too. 1-for-1 at Keeneland,
well,
maybe a horse for a course. So give me some of your thoughts on the Fayette.
Yeah, I just got the scratches. The CBI Todd's out, so
okay.
I'll let you know right now.
So now it's down
finally
to
came
a couple, for me. I think it is Code of Honor and King Fury, but I tilted slightly towards Code of Honor.
Well, this is one of the races I did for another one of my blogs. For people that follow me at Uber Capper, you will see that. And this is a race that I picked for one of those blogs, and it is a really great race. I got King Fury on top even before Ken McPeak started to get hot the last couple of days. You know, you said you got it right. I mean, after winning the Lexington, everybody was so high on him. He would have been one of my top five in the Derby. And then the illness, and then the quarantine, and then all these issues. And then he had to run him on the grass, the Saratoga Derby, just run him a line through it. And the Traverse, he just wasn't ready. And that race at Churchill, mile and 3/16, now cutting back a 16th, is phenomenal for me. A very impressive, not the 13-length win, but I mean, it was almost a $300,000 race. So it will be a graded race at some point in the future. But he's come back to work a minute and 3/6 best of 69. And his echo base figure is 109 tops. He's 9-2. I really like King Fury. And there's a stats Raceland's angle I use, which is three-year-olds versus older in graded stakes this time of year. And it's profitable. I mean, when these first step into facing older, this is a good angle. Night Ops is my second pick, more for exactas and trifectas, because he just loves to run second or first. 13 for 25, first or second. He's 0-7 in the year, but 4 seconds. And he does very well. Again, I'll draw a line through Jockey Club Gold Cup, 10 furlongs, too much. Before that, you can't knock who he ran second to. He ran second to Mighty Heart. He ran second to Dr. Post. He ran second to Art Collector. In the slough, which, again, it still might be sloppy by the time this race comes up. I think it'll be more towards good. But in the slop in April, in the identical stakes race in the spring, they run the Ben Ali Stakes, which is identical to the Fayette in terms of its grade and distance for older horses in the division. And he closed for second to Silver Dust. So you got to use him. And then I will use Code of Honor in the exact box. But I'm telling you, my win bets are going to be on King Fury and Night Ops. And that's who I'm using in all my multiples, pick three, pick four, et cetera.
Yeah, I'm very intrigued to see what King Fury does. We were talking about him earlier on the handicapping show. And you know, he may be set up to be a really, really nice four-year-old next year. He certainly, that Lexington seemed to have that,
have the
three-year-old season set up to go, and it just didn't play out quite that way, although it could end very nicely still as well. All right, let's take a look at the eighth race this afternoon at Keeneland, and as you say, this one will stay on the grass at this point. And I pulled up the scratches while you were talking. In this eighth race, the Bryan Station, we're going to scratch the 2, the 4, and the 8. 2, 4, and 8 are out. I pulled up a replay going back to Keeneland, October 8th. We're going to look at number 1, Camp Hope, get it done in that race. And off of that win right here at Keeneland earlier in the meet, I put Camp Hope on top. I think Yes It's Time is a little bit interesting. Have that one underneath in the third slot. Point by Me at 10-1, lately raced for Eddie Keneally. I think that's an interesting player. And Scarlet Sky at a little bit of a price with Joel Rosario on board is in my mix as well. But I'm going to tilt towards Camp Hope. What are your thoughts on the Bryan Station?
We can stop now because we got the same three in the same order. Camp Hope was very impressive at Keeneland, and I like it when horses can come back second time at the meet. A trainer to know what he's doing. If the horse didn't take too much out of him. It was very impressive. Those were both his neck defeat in a three-horse blanket finish before that at Kentucky Downs in a very tough race on the grass. And that race at Keeneland were both against older. Now he goes to three-year-old. So, yeah, he's going up in class, but he's also going down by age, and that's really a negligible change for me. Very impressive, big pair of echo-base speed figures, and he closed nicely. You know, this race will be on the turf, probably yielding, could be soft, but not positive. By the way, one of the scratches, Dynamite, won earlier in the week, and won big, an allowance race, paid a big price. The 10, as you mentioned, Yes This Time, together, coming off career best. You know, when I'm looking at three-year-olds this time of year, just like two-year-olds, I like to see the patterns of improvement in the fall. And career best races are fine. Can't drop a career best second, but it was the Dueling Grounds Derby. $700,000 on a yielding course, so he's already proven on wet. He won two back before that, the Kent Stakes on soft course at Saratoga, so he's good. Camp Hope's race was also on a good course. And then Point by Me, the best value for a win bet opening at 10-1. Yeah. Don't know if you'll get it with the three scratches now, but I think so. won the Bruce D, which is formerly the Secretary, for those that don't know, at Arlington on August 14th in his third career start. He was the 8-5 favorite, but a 9-horse field, so they weren't giving him anything. And then he ran pretty badly seventh in the Franklin Simpson, but that was a cutback to 6.5. And again, a really tough field. The Learjet's multiple Grand Stakes winner. So I say 11, 10, 7. If you're going to play exact, as I will throw a few in for second, though, Charles Chrome at 10-1 at California Chrome. We already saw California Angel at California Chrome win that race on the grass going to the Breeders' Cup. I think Juvenile Fillies definitely used the 3 for second. Like the King, and also another horse that I think I'm going to use underneath an exactas and trifectas, and the 12 Dreamer's Disease. But Camp Hope, if I get 5-2 or better set, that's where I'm going to be.
Yeah, very good. And a couple of you mentioned a couple other horses in this race coming out of races at Kentucky Downs. I will ask you, because if you do, you will help me out. Any clever ideas coming out of Kentucky Downs when you're handicapping? There are a couple of venues. Oaklawn is my best example. I love horses coming out of Oaklawn. I think the next race from Oaklawn, as they go around the country, you can look and find some value, because I think that Oaklawn track tends to maybe give some fitness. I think the claiming game is very competitive down there. But I will admit, Kentucky Downs is kind of a mystery to me. It seems like some horses like it, some horses don't. And I don't really have any clever next start out thoughts on Kentucky Downs. What are your thoughts on horses that move away from that really crazy rich meat? Short and rich.
Well, two comments. This year they got no rain, so the track was dry. And I think that really didn't favor closers the way it might used to when there's a little give in the track. Horses did come from all over. But more importantly, if a horse is running at the same level or back, I think you should consider it, as long as it didn't, you know, run last around the track. Because the race at Kentucky Downs, almost everyone was oversubscribed.
Yeah.
12, 13, 14 in the field. And with that, everyone, it's not a key race, but so many races are productive because you had full fields. And when you get a full field, you've got 3 or 4 really talented horses. So when they come back in a smaller field or at another level at Keeneland, so, you know, like for example, this wouldn't be, but a horse that ran in a non-winners of one other than allowance at Kentucky Downs, running in a non-winners of other than allowance at Churchill, I think it's going to be a little bit of a class drop. Now, Churchill's going to be giving away a lot of money, but in terms of that, Kentucky Downs is just tougher. It's tougher. And because that stretch run is kind of uphill, you know, they also have an advantage running now on a flat course.
It's a funny, it's a great meet because, as you say, those big full fields, they put up so much money. But again, for me, it's a little bit of a puzzle when the horses come up. But you made some great points there, worth considering. All right, let's go back to the Bowman Mill. Also a stake on the closing day card at Keeneland. These are 2-year-olds going 6 furlongs for $150,000. I went with my prankster. I kind of went master of the obvious here, I guess. Maiden Special win back at Saratoga. We'll take a look at that. Just phenomenal in debut for Todd Pletcher. My prankster will be the number 2 horse here. Won't be hard to pick this one out, winning by 10 lengths. Subsequently comes back in the Champagne and can't match up to Jack Christopher. So a little bit of a disappointment there. But boy, off of this Saratoga race we're watching, I just had to tilt towards this one. But I think Chatelot is interesting. I think Freelancer is interesting. And I'm very intrigued to see what Nakatomi does for Wesley Ward. What are your thoughts on the Bowman Mill?
We're close. I think Chatelot is my obvious horse here. My prankster is okay, and Jack Christopher, of course, but finished 4th, didn't really do a thing.
No.
Cutting back to 6 will help. But Fletcher's also a little cold. He's got 1 win, 4 seconds at Keeneland in 7 races. And, you know, Asmussen's also very cold. And Santana is 0 for the meet, like 60 starts right now, which is highly unusual. Yeah. But Chatelot's being ridden by Brian Hernandez, who rode him so well in that race at Churchill, which actually rated higher. He got a 100 equibase speed figure compared to 95 for my prankster's win. I love the fact that he improved. I mean, he's as opposed to my prankster, who has a maiden win, Chatelot's got a maiden win and an allowance win. And he came back off of, you know, 2.5 months from July 17th to October 1st. He showed a lot of maturity that day, sitting off the pace, beating Nakatomi and Freelancer. He also had some trouble in that race. I looked up his breeding just to see, not that he's going long yet, but he's a half to a horse named Red Tie Day, who won $330,000, and Ali Darley, who won $150,000. The dam's had 9 foals. She's been productive. I'm not as productive as Leslie's Lady, the Dam of Martime, who ran earlier this week, but still very productive. And so I'm going to take Chattel out on top. I would use Mike Frankster at some pick threes and pick fours. Nakatomi certainly can improve, but he couldn't beat Chattel out before. Definitely underneath. And Freelancer. I don't going any long shots here in this race, but I like Chattel out a butt. And I talk about this quite a bit. Again, on one of my blogs, I blogged 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th on various blogs. People that follow me on Twitter at UberCapper can get links to all those races.
Yeah, and we throughout the interview, we pop up the – well, actually, with you on Zoom, we don't, so I will reiterate. It is at UberCapper. I was going to say normally if we're on the phone, the Twitter account comes up. But with Zoom, yeah, so it's at UberCapper, correct?
Correct, at UberCapper. Yeah. I mean, just, to be honest, I don't Google myself, but people say it's really easy to find Ellistar blogs, UberCapper blogs. And links to all of them, three or four I do, plus daily for Woodbine and Santa Anita, as you mentioned earlier. Great stake today at Santa Anita, great stake at Woodbine today, as a matter of fact, the Coronation, which is another two-year-old stakes.
And great stakes coming up next Friday and Saturday. Ready for the Breeders' Cup?
Yep. I am anticipating, waiting. I'm not one of those people that does anything with pre-entries. I will start looking on Monday, Tuesday, lock the door. And I'll be ready on Wednesday.
I like that. Lock the door. Because there's 14 you got to look at. It will take a while. But it's always a lot of fun. I mean, it's one of those situations, like some of the other big days, Kentucky Derby Day or whatnot. You just have to be right once or twice, and it's going to make your weekend.
Right. And you won't get odds. I mean, I told the story real quick. Opening day at Keeneland. The late pick four and then a handicapping contest I played, and horses that would have normally been 6-5, 3-2, or 5-2, 3-1, 7-2. Even that little edge, you know, it makes you a lot of money when you're playing multiples, playing horizontals, pick threes, pick fours, handicapping contest. You know, instead of getting $4 to win and $3 to place, you're getting $7.80 to win and $4 to place. And Breeders' Cup is just like that. Horses, if you're right, even on a 5-2 to a 5-1 shot, you're going to get much better odds than you would get almost any other day of the year because of the field size.
Absolutely. Ellis, as always, appreciate the conversation. A lot of fun. Good luck on closing day, and we'll talk again.
Thanks very much, everybody. Have a great day. Stay dry.
Ellis Starr, National Racing Analyst at Equibase, and you can find his selections, well, I was going to say throughout the meet, but today's, of course, the last day at Keeneland, but as he mentioned, some of the other venues as well, and you can follow him on Twitter at UberCapper. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll wrap it up for this Saturday. Stay tuned.
The Breeders' Cup World Championships have given us some of horse racing's biggest thrills and biggest payouts, like the $2.7 million Pick 6 payout back in 2003. With a long list of betting options, it's never taken so little to win so much. So don't miss your chance to share in Thoroughbred Racing's richest event, the Breeders' Cup. And be sure to go to CapitalOTBBet.com to wager and win.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Saturday. I was just pulling up the chart here because I did want to reiterate. And yeah, I'll pull it up for tomorrow's show. So if folks didn't see it, you can watch. But here it is, the second race yesterday, Smile Happy, first-time starter by Run Happy. And as I said, I was also looking up while we were in the commercial. Run Happy, who last year just was not producing necessarily precocious runners. And you thought, well, maybe that'll be his career. That'll get better as they get older. But this year, five debut winners so far for Run Happy, including the nice one yesterday down at Keeneland. And as I say, Smile Happy, good first-time starter. That one chart margin was over five lengths for Ken McPeak. But again, we'll look at that tomorrow. And maybe we'll pull up also Martime, the sibling to Beholder and Not This Time, or Into Mischief, excuse me, sibling to Beholder and Into Mischief, just looked really good in debut as well. So a couple of first-time starters over the past couple of days at Keeneland, worth keeping our eyes on going forward. And worth keeping your eyes on going forward, the Capital OTB website. Swing by if you would like to get on the Breeders' Cup Syndicate team, too. Again, it's first come, first serve. I was reasonably certain earlier that there were still open spots. Who knows? People may have heard me earlier and jumped on. But do check the website to see if there are open spots if you're interested. $50 gets you on the team. Capital OTB puts in a big chunk of money, so you wind up with $2,500 that will be played on various wagers on the Breeders' Cup. You, as a team member, also get to give your selections, and then a consensus is put together to formulate the tickets. So for a relatively modest amount of money, the $50, you know, you hit a good, nice Breeders' Cup exact or a pick bet or whatnot, and you can wind up doing very well. And I'll remind you once again, last weekend, the Keeneland Syndicate team hit the pick five, $17,000. Everybody walked away with over $800 being put into their account. So we'll see if the two Breeders' Cup Syndicate teams can do as well or better, even more fun. But it's always a lot of fun, the syndicates, and there will be a couple of them for the Breeders' Cup. Syndicate 1 filled up on Thursday. Syndicate 2 opened up yesterday. And as I say, check out the website for availabilities, CapitalOTB.com. Don't forget tomorrow here at the Clubhouse Racebook, NFL Sunday, all the football action, all the racing action as well. We would love to have you stop by. You can also grab some lunch while you're here. Just enjoy a venue with some other folks who will be rooting for your, well, I was going to say your horses. Maybe they'll be rooting for your horses, but they may be rooting for your football team. You can watch all the football action and all the racing action here at the Racebook every Sunday throughout the NFL season, 7-Eleven Central Avenue in Albany. And also a reminder that coming up on Thursday, the Breeders' Cup Seminar, the annual Capital OTB Breeders' Cup Seminar, 2 o'clock on Thursday afternoon. We will be live on the Capital OTB YouTube channel. Myself and Tim Wilkin from the Times Union will be in the studio. Brian Addo will join us live from Del Mar. We'll go through all the Breeders' Cup races, try to give you some thoughts and ideas. That happens live Thursday, 2 p.m. on the Capital OTB YouTube channel. And we will replay it here on the network subsequently as well over the next couple of days. So keep all of that in mind for your Breeders' Cup action. All right, I'm going to wrap it up 1 minute after 11. So I'm late for a very important day. Actually, it's we on the network, so we're never technically late, I suppose. But I will wrap it up. I'll be back in about an hour and a half or so for OTB Live on a Saturday afternoon. And as I said at the top of the show, fun afternoon. Some nice stakes action at Belmont. We just went over some nice stakes action at Keeneland with Ellis Starr. And by the way, thanks to Ellis Starr for joining us. And a little bit earlier, Anthony Stabile going over that Empire Showcase Day. As I say, nice stakes action at Belmont with the New York bred action highlighting things. Fun day. Belmont Keeneland we'll look at this afternoon live here on the network. But also, Breeders' Crown Day on the sulky side. And I'm a harness fan. Hopefully a lot of you are as well. So tune in for that. If you don't necessarily follow closely the harness action, we will lead you through some of these Breeders' Crown races because there are more than a few. I was going to say a few. There are more than a few horses that will be worth watching and paying attention to and rooting for. As I said, Atlanta today, just the racing millionaire mayor who I want to say she's has 31 victories so far in her career, something in that neighborhood. But she'll be on the card today and a few others worth watching as well. So we'll lead you through some of those Breeders' Crown races from the Meadowlands on this afternoon's program also. So again, about an hour and a half or so, we will be back for OTB Live. So looking forward to that. We'll wrap it up for this Saturday morning edition of Racing Across America. Be back with the Sunday edition of Racing Across America tomorrow at 10 a.m. But in the meantime, about an hour and a half or so, we return for OTB Live. We'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off Track Betting.